Thank you, Steve. Steve is a voracious reader. I know that. I like to read pamphlets. That's about as good as I go.
That's your limit, pamphlets?
I like to read. I don't have a lot of time for it. I know when I was in school and you were forced to read a book, I hated having a time limit. You're supposed to read for pleasure on your own.
Right.
But now there's this new thing called an audiobook where, you know, perhaps you have a commute into work and you don't have time to read. Perhaps you could listen to an audiobook. And we have an award-winning audiobook narrator Jane Entwistle in the studio with us. Jane, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Be honest with me. Were you always, did you always love to read?
Oh, yeah. I was a voracious reader as a kid. You know, back then when you could leave your kid in the car for 3 hours, just give me a book and I would be fine. My parents didn't have to worry about me.
Now, you are a freelance audiobook narrator. A lot of the work you do is for the Penguin Random House audio. I got to be honest with you. I heard about your availability to come in. I want to be a narrator. I want to read audiobooks. Is there room for other people, or do you have the market cornered?
Oh, no. It is a multi-billion-dollar industry that's growing every year. It's just gaining popularity. So, you know, we need good readers.
Why do you think it's doing what you just said? It does. It gets bigger and bigger every year. So what's behind that, do you think?
Probably time. I feel like everyone's busier, spending more time in the car, or there's more things going on. The great thing about an audiobook is you can pop it in and cook dinner.
Right.
You can't really read and cook dinner. You certainly can't read and drive. I wouldn't recommend it.
Although, don't you see people doing
people
it sometimes?
Have done it. People have done it.
Stupid.
Now, can I suggest something? And I don't mean this negatively, although it'll sound negative. I think people's attention spans are such now that it's easier for them to hear a story than it is to actively move pages and read a story. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
I do agree with that.
Yeah,
I think there's so many things pulling our attention.
Yeah.
So, you know, listening to a nice 20-minute pop of audiobook while you're doing something else certainly satisfies reading. I don't think it's cheating. Some people think it's cheating.
It's not cheating.
It's not cheating.
It's not cheating.
If you can get a kid to read, like I said, when I read all the classics in school, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Great Gatsby, I wouldn't have read them on my own. But I hate having a time limit hanging over my head. And I'll confess, I did a little bit of the Cliff's Notes reading every once in a while. But now, if kids could listen to a book on their phone, which is pretty much in their hand anyway, I feel like they're going to do a better job of finishing the book.
Well, that's true. And also, studies are saying that children can listen to an audiobook at least 2 grades higher than their reading comprehension.
How about that?
Yeah.
Because they don't stop and say, I don't know what that word or phrase means.
Is that
what it is?
Yeah. Exactly. And when words are used in context, the meaning becomes clearer.
Oh, sure.
And then they're also learning how to say words that they wouldn't. That's why we have to be so good at pronouncing everything correctly.
Yeah. You also have an advantage in that you have a great British accent. If Keira Knightley read any book, I don't care what book it is, I would buy it and listen to it. Can you make that happen for me?
I'll see what I can do.
So a lot of times when I go to a bookstore and they have a section of audiobooks, many times it's the author themselves who's doing the reading. Mm-hmm. How does a publisher decide when to go with the actual author and when to bring you in?
I think that is up to the author. I don't know. But I think if an author wants to read their book and has the skill to do it, because it's hard. People think, you just walk in with the book, right, and sit down and read it.
Right.
No.
Or else they'll get Patrick Stewart. They'll get a celebrity, and they'll read the book. And that's always fun, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
John Hamm is mentioned here. He's done some audiobooks. Nick Offerman, Helen Mirren.
I read John Hamm read Green Eggs and Ham, and it was the most incredible experience of my life, Wendy.
I have no time for you today. I have no time. How many books have you narrated? Because someone has just texted us and said, Jane Entwistle, she's wonderful. I've listened and love her work.
Oh, thank you.
How many books have you narrated?
I'm not sure.
Ballpark.
Ballpark, maybe 75, which is actually very little.
Yeah, I expected thousands.
But each book, to read an entire book, you say 75, but it's got to take a week or two just to get through the book, right?
Yeah.
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 How do you prep for the story?
Well, I have to read it. I mean, going into a studio without reading a book would be like driving in LA without Google Maps. Mm. I mean, just
all right,
a
I'm
night-
out then.
Just
I'm
a
out.
Nightmare. No, you have to read it first. And the reason why is because there's tons of words I don't know how to say, so I have to research them mm-hmm. and figure them out. You know,
otherwise, it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of the person recording's time.
Yeah.
You got to just roll through it.
Yeah. And then
you
also
probably add notes for inflection and yep. when to pause, when to go faster. Yeah, that's all in there too.
Yeah, and then also sometimes we're doing 45 plus characters in a book. I have to do all the voices.
Holy moly!
And I do a lot of children's books, so there'll be talking wolves. Yeah. And,
which would sound like what?
It's got to get really rough like this.
It sounds
really
like a wolf.
Down.
That's very scary.
Does that sound like a wolf?
That sounds like a wolf to me.
Yeah.
I'm envisioning a wolf.
Yeah.
Or Wendy when she first wakes up in the morning.
Okay. But that wolf was not British.
Your wolf is not British.
Come on. Everyone knows that wolves are American.
Native American, that's right.
Right, that's true. Good point. Very good point. What's been the biggest, of all the books, of all the 75, which has been the most challenging for you?
Oh, boy. There was a book that I did that had a Chinese accent, French, Canadian, American, British, Polish, German.
Wow.
I mean, the list of accents just went on and on and on. And it was fantasy, so many made up words that were really difficult to say.
Yeah.
And that was very challenging.
Jane Entwistle is here. No relation to John Entwistle.
No, but my dad's name is John. And we're obviously English.
Yeah. So you're probably related.
We're probably.
Yeah, probably.
John Entwistle's, bless him, because, you know, obviously
yes.
he's
yeah.
passed. His daughter is named Jane, I believe.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, it's weird. There's like a whole doppelganger
I
Entwistle
know.
Thing going on.
Mm-hmm. There is.
It's We've weird. Heard her wolf. Not good. She came in for half an hour, just did wolf noises. Boring.
You know, I'm thinking about all these accents and dialects. Is this something that you had in your vernacular or in your bag of tricks for a while, or do you have to learn these accents to do it?
Some of them I have to learn. I'm kind of a mimic.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was waiting tables, if I had someone in from New York, forget it. It was
really?
Like, so you want more coffee? You know, it's terrible. So some of them come really naturally.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, I could just as easily do this interview in my American accent.
Oh,
you know,
look at that.
Convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some
Very
of them,
convincing.
Some of them I have to practice.
You've taken an acting class or two along the way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
You'd have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out. I really wanted to narrate
you
books.
Should
but
do
if
it. You can do it.
Well, you have brought some scripts that Bill and I can read. Can we take a break and come back and can we audition for you?
I would love it.
Oh, see, I don't know some of these words.
Well, that's it. That's the rub.
She's only given us a paragraph or three. And
Did you ever do this in grade school when you come to a word you didn't know? You just skip it. People go,
all right,
wait,
well, we'll try
that. Where'd that word go?
You can't do that.
No?
No.
You're going to do some auditioning,
too. I am,
too.
Uh-oh. All right.
You should. See, reading kids' books is what I would like to do, because it would only take me about 5 minutes to read the kid book. You know, like Goodnight Moon.
Hmm.
Somebody's got to read that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that short on an audiobook, or why bother?
I'm not sure. Most of the children's books I do
are lengthy.
Yeah, they take me a couple of days to record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not easy work. No one thinks it's easy, I hope.
Oh, people do.
It's
yeah.
not easy.
People
There's
think
no
we
way.
Just, you know, like I said, waltz in.
Just
and,
show up.
But now it's, and now I'm in the studio for about 6 hours.
Yeah.
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 People just think you're laying in bed in your jammies reading a book with a microphone. That's not how it goes.
Yeah. I wish it was how it
My wife
man.
Does voiceovers and she's done video games. And the trick with that is that there's no one-way storyline. It branches out into different options as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And it can take weeks or months to do a single video game because of that.
Oh, I imagine.
Which takes forever.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more of this. Stick around. Oh, if you want to jump in, you can. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN. We're visiting with Jane Entwistle, award-winning audio narrator, freelance artist, but a lot of her stuff goes through Penguin Random House, and you can go to penguinrandomhouseaudio.com. When did audiobooks make the big boom?
Oh,
how long has it been?
It's been probably about at least 12 years.
But they were around maybe before that, just not overly popular the way they are now. Because I always remember you could go into a bookstore and find a shelf or two of a couple of books. But now it's just, it's taken off like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Gangbusters.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. No, well, I've been doing this for about 11 years. So yeah. Before that, even. Yeah, maybe even 15.
Is it as big around the world as it is in the United States? Or do we corner the market on that?
I think we probably corner the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, certainly other countries, Germany's doing a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot of other countries are doing them, but I think we've probably
The U.S. is the place to be. Yeah.
Now, are you going to be part of AudioCon 18 at the Beloit Public Library?
I sure am.
We ask all of our guests that question. You're the first person to say yes. What is that exactly? What goes on there?
Well, it's a whole day at the public library dedicated to all things audiobooks. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be listening stations. I'm doing a little workshop with kids and adults if they want. We're going to do some readers' theater. There's going to be some panels. Dion Graham is a wonderful narrator. He's going to be there doing some talks. Great
With
day.
The exception of you and Dion Graham, who is the Babe Ruth of audiobooks? Who's the one man or woman that everyone goes, that's the best right there?
Oh, boy. There's so many. And you'll get me in trouble, you know, because we're all friends.
Oh.
Scott Brick. Kirby Hayborn, wonderful narrators. Cassandra Campbell.
And they're good because they have the ability, like you said earlier, to shapeshift a little bit, to do voices, to do inflections, to do characters. That's the key to this, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
See, I have nothing in my arsenal.
Oh, that's not true.
I don't have characters. I'm pretty much the same all the time. There's a voice competition going on at this AudioCon 18, and that's going to put the pressure on people. We're going to have our own voice competition right now. You and I are going to audition for Jane to try and be audiobook narrators. What do I need to know about this first piece?
Okay, this is...
Please do tell.
I will. Now, this is from the very first book I ever did, and it's called The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie by Alan Bradley.
Mm.
I've done 9 books in this series. They're about an 11-year-old English girl named Flavia Deleuze who solves mysteries, mostly murders, with her incredible knowledge of chemistry.
Wendy, this is you all over. You just described Wendy's life story.
They're adult books. They're not kids' books, although certainly young adults appreciate them. So in this excerpt that I've gathered for you, Flavia, who's 11, remember that, is talking to Inspector Hewitt about a body that's just been found in the vegetable garden.
Jane, would you prefer that Wendy use a British accent for this?
Of course,
yeah,
if she
you got
can.
To. You have to.
Can you, Wendy?
I will certainly try.
Oh.
I'm 11 years old.
Oh, how great.
It's like being home, isn't it, Jane?
It is.
Yep.
I stepped forward eagerly, almost salivating for a closer look. I wonder, Flavia, Inspector Hewitt said, stepping gingerly into the cucumbers, if you might ask someone to organize some tea? He must have seen the look on my face. We've had rather an early start this morning. Do you think you could manage to rustle something up? So that, I don't know where to
now,
go
Jane,
now.
I see you written on your paper, good God help me. What is that? What does that mean? Why would you have written that?
All right, well, you finish it. I mean, so that was it. I don't know who's talking there. I guess that's Flavia.
No, that
hey,
was
Flavia.
That was Inspector Hewitt.
Oh.
Do it with a Jerry Lewis voice.
Flavia.
Just do that and see what happens.
You do that. You should be the inspector.
So that was it. And at birth, so as at death, without so much as a kiss me quick and mind the marmalade, the only female in sight is enlisted to trot off and see what the water is boiling. Rustle up something, indeed. What did he take me for? Some sort of a cowboy?
I'll see what can be arranged, Inspector, I said. Coldly, I hoped. Thank you. Oh, I don't even know who.
You're supposed to read the whole thing. You have to do all the voices.
Every voice, Wendy.
Oh, I'm finished. I'm done.
Oh, Wendy's out.
You
Wendy's
can
out.
Just finish it, because so I heard you're Hewitt. You were very good.
Well,
I have some droll rings.
I've played Inspector Hewitt on the stage for many, many years, Jane, so I was at something of an advantage. So what, I mean, obviously, Wendy and I, this is the first
Suck.
Time we've done this. Thank you. Yeah, that was the word I was looking for. So what, give us a note or two. What should we do more of and less of?
Well, maybe make it a little bit more normal.
Instead of, see, that's my problem. I turn into an announcer. You want it to be very
conversational.
Casual. Yeah.
A bit more conversational.
Does everything revolve around Jerry Lewis? Because her name is Flavia. And then in this next excerpt, next morning I was busy among the flasks and flagons.
Flasks and flagons.
How quickly would somebody return their audiobook if Wendy and I were narrating it? Quickly, right? Somebody go into a bookstore and they go, there's a line over there, and there'd be 80 people in line for people who bought our book.
No, bless.
The problem with characters, though, and you do need to be an actor. I wanted to do voiceover work, and I'm serious. I'm like one take, but all the same. So I took some acting classes to try and do characters. I have nothing in me to do a character. Everything sounds exactly the same.
Well, but have you practiced?
Not recently, but I did. I really did try to practice.
Here's my best tip, okay? If you spend any time at all in the car, narrate what you see as you're driving.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Trying different voices.
Yeah.
Because in your car, you're alone, you're safe. So, you know, you could try, like, just, yeah, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
God, she sounds just like me. Isn't that weird?
That does sound like you. Do the wolf eating Wendy. I want to hear that.
All right, go back to your, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Just, you know, there's a taxi cab. It's orange. I see it coming down the street. Oh, look, there's a lady with a pink jacket on and black pants. I love her blonde. Just narrate, narrate what you see, or narrate the billboards or the street signs.
And then it becomes more natural, doesn't it?
Because you're used to that. Because you have to hear yourself doing it.
Yeah.
That you don't want the first time you hear yourself doing something to be when you're on the microphone.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm. Very nice.
You are really good. I could sit there and listen to you talk about these little stories in your head all day.
Oh, thank you.
Really good.
Thank you.
She's Jane Entwistle. And how do people find you on social media? Are you out there?
I am. So I'm on Twitter, which is The Jane Show, and my name is spelled J-A-Y-N-E, so The Jane Show, and my website is thejaneshow.net.
Very nice.
And thank you. Like to go to the Beloit Library, where is Beloit again?
That's in Wisconsin.
BeloitLibrary.org. You can find out information on AudioCon 18, and that's taking place what day?
On Saturday.
Looks like a fun time.
It should be a good time.
Pleasure to meet you, madame.
Thank you very much for
having me. Thanks, Jane. Really appreciate it. A quick break, some news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.